Well, today we are talking about marketing because if there's one thing that I hear the most consistently from photographers, it's how do I get new clients? How do I market my business? How do I bring in enough work to keep my business afloat and crushing it and going? And like, I just want to be creative. And why does marketing have to be so overwhelming? If you've ever been in this place, you definitely want to listen to this coaching episode with Laken Stearns Photography. She is based in Fort Worth, Texas, and at one point was doing weddings, now is a newborn and family photographer, and needs a little bit more momentum in her business as far as clients go, and would like for her calendar to be a little bit more full. So we dive into this today. I think you're going to come away with new ideas for your marketing. You're going to hear how we work through personalizing a marketing plan for a specific person. Because I really don't believe that marketing should be one size fits all. It really is so personal to each person and to your skill set and to your area. And also some things that she might not have been noticing that were keeping her from booking the inquiries that were already coming in. So there's a ton in this coaching episode. I hope you listen and learn so much. And Laken, thank you so much for being on this podcast and for helping us learn from your experience and from this conversation. So cannot wait for y'all to hear this. This is our coaching episode with family photographer Laken Stearns. Well, hey, Laken, I'm excited to chat today about your business and what's been going well, what you're working on, all that kind of stuff. Do you mind giving a little intro about you and how long you've been in business and what kind of stuff you do, where you are, all of that?
So I started originally very first when I started my business, it was just doing families. Then I tried to dabble in weddings for a little bit. It was fun, a second shot, a bunch, and loved that. But I couldn't quite ever get my footing in solely shooting weddings. And so I was like, maybe there's something to this. And so when I had my first kiddo, I kind of decided that was a great pivot time. And at that point, I switched and decided I was just going to photograph newborns and families just for, you know, pace of life and where we were headed. It was just a better fit. And so I've been much happier doing that for the past 3-ish years.
Love it. Okay. So mostly newborns, some families mixed in there. Do you shoot at a studio? Do you go on location? How's that work?
It's about 50% in people's homes and the other 50% outdoors. So I'll do some studio stuff. I don't have my own. So it's just me renting a studio if somebody requests that, or an occasional, like I'll host a mini day at a studio or something. But I photograph a lot at people's homes, which I love because it's where people are most comfortable. So it's kind of, that's my bread line, unless it's just a beautifully 70 degree sunny day, which we don't get a lot of in Texas. So just, you know, varies.
You just got lucky today. Today is the perfect day.
Yes. 72 degrees in January. I'll take it.
Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. So you reached out because tell me about marketing and tell me why that feels like a stressful thing or pain point, or what it feels like, I guess. Like, what has worked? Why does it feel like you need to focus there?
Yeah, I kind of with the same sense of where with families or with weddings, I kind of have never found my foothold. I feel like I have in the family realm, but I feel like I haven't been able to find that pocket of people who really value the style of work that I do, but also are willing and have the funds to you know, invest in what I'm offering. And so there's been a handful here and there, and honestly, all my clients I've loved. Like I've been really, really fortunate to not have many like bad experiences. I just like the quantity of those quality clients have not quite hit the mark of what I'm wanting. So I would love to be shooting more, and also at a higher quality. So it's kind of like finding that, and I don't want to say magic number because I know you can't just pull it out of the air, but figuring out what that looks like and where I'm at currently.
Yeah, totally. Where are most of your inquiries, like people that do book or reach out, where are most of them coming from?
Yes. So lately, I actually have been getting a ton from Google. I've worked on my SEO last year and switched websites. And so I think for like, you know, Fort Worth newborn photographer, I'm like fifth. I rank number 5, so I get a ton of inquiries from that. And then I get a good fair amount from Instagram, and then everything else is word of mouth. So I would say that honestly, right now, the majority is Google, which is kind of weird. I mean, it's great, but it's, I don't know, it's kind of weird. I love when it's from other people. So I'd say the majority is from word of mouth, from other previous clients, and then also Google.
Yeah, cool. Yeah. Do you have a, like, just your natural organic community? Do you get inquiries from that, like people you go to church with, people you, yes, your kids go to school with, anything like that? Like, does that seem, yes, to work too?
I get a lot of those. And that's where all of it stemmed from. I was on staff at a church outside of Nashville. And so that's where I'm kind of like, oh, I could actually do something with this. And so that's kind of always carried through no matter where I've been, because we're in the same season of life since, you know, the people that I'm photographing. But the issue that I'm kind of running into with that is that I've hit a point where I've raised my prices so high that I'm kind of outside of their budget, in which I have an internal conflict with that, just because I love photographing them. But also, like, you know, I understand that that may not be in your budget, and that's okay. Like, there's no tension with me on that end. But yeah, I feel like I've hit that point of like, okay, I'm inching out of the space where it's a good space for them, but where do I find the people where it is a good space more?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you tell us more about your pricing then? Like, how did you raise it? When did you raise it? And like, how is it structured?
And so for a good bit, like last year, maybe even a year before that, I was kind of sitting at like $650 for a family session, which is, you know, like 45 minutes. I don't really time them, but that's just kind of the time frame I give people, like a standard 45 hour long. And you get, I would guarantee at least 30 images, but I always sent more than that. Obviously, I would send only the good ones, but that's kind of the range of where I was sending. So that was at $650. And I did well. I mean, I feel like I booked a fair amount there. There wasn't a whole lot of ghosting going on. Recently, I bumped up to like my lowest is $850. $850. And I feel like I've gotten maybe probably 10 to 15 inquiries in January, and not a single one has booked. So, and I know it's January, it's the time of year, but it's also kind of like, oh, like, yeah, I don't know. So, and then I have a video, a package with, that includes the family session film and photo, like a combined collection, and that's at $1,200. So,
okay. The $850, does it include any photos, or is that just like a session fee?
It does. No, I don't do the session fee. Mine includes, it's the session, and it's like a guaranteed, I think guys, it's actually the digital files. And then you also get to choose 25 from the digital files to for prints that I include. So they get a physical, something physical with that too.
Okay, cool. Have you ever considered doing any different type of pricing, like a more of a session fee and different packages? Have you tried anything else? Or
I toyed around with that for a bit, and I actually do something similar. I'll occasionally, like quarterly, I offer something called personality mini. So it's just kid portraits in studio. They're like 10 minutes, very, very short. And so it's a much lower price point, but it only includes like 5 digital files. And then they have the option to upgrade to the full gallery. And honestly, I'd say 75% of people upgrade to the full gallery, just because it's their kid and they're cute.
Yeah.
So that works well, but I've never tried that with like a full, like to normal family or newborn session.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Well, I mean, when I'm talking with marketing, with people about their marketing, a lot of times we try to find the things that are already working well for them and then figure out the plan to double down on it. But then also, I think marketing, it's always fun to have something new that you're experimenting with that's kind of like, we'll see how this goes. This is just like the fun thing we're testing, and then have something more long term. So it's kind of like those three things. You take the thing that's already working, turn up the dial to it. You find the long-term thing that you can invest time into now. That might be your SEO, your blogging, things that might take longer to pay off. And then find a new thing that's like, this feels fun. This feels like something we can experiment with. But before we get there, a lot of times I look at what you already have in place, and I'm like, is there anything that might be like blocking people from booking it? Like, you're getting the inquiries, and is there anything that you could like tiny tweak?
Mm-hmm.
That might book the ones that are already coming in for you.
For sure.
Can you think of anything that might be for you?
Off the top of my head, no. Maybe if I sat and like, you know, thought about it like, you know, meticulously. But I feel like I try to respond within like 24 to 48 hours. My goal is 24 hours after, before, you know, of their inquiry. So I try to have a, you know, a quick response. I feel like my responses are pretty detailed. Like they go through like it's offering up the pricing as well as like some of the in my email I list, like these are some pros of booking with me, and like list, like I have a client closet. So I list that. I have a tag, like a blog post of like location. So they realize like, oh, she knows the places. Like, you know, I try to show my like worth and like what I have to offer in the initial email. But again, the reality of people actually reading it, who knows, maybe they just skip down to the link of like the pricing page. I don't know, maybe that's what it is. But and then I try to, if they haven't responded within 2 days, I usually send a follow-up email just making sure they got the information, or if they, you know, have questions. So, and then I'd say about 50% of those people will either respond and say, hey, we went in a different direction, or, you know, we decided to wait, or something along those lines. But then the other 50, it's just ghosting, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah.
But as far as my email, I feel like I provide a pretty thorough response. So I'm not sure in that regard. The only thing I can think of is maybe the copy, like if I, you know, to get some copyright help to spice it up. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, a lot of this does take some experimenting. I will say probably the thing that popped out to me first that I would want you to test if you're open to it is like totally simplifying your contact form and sales system. Okay. Uh-huh. And I was going to say, so like when someone is getting inquiries, but they're not booking, like 80% of the time it's the sales process and not your pricing. So like for example, it sounds like you have a ton in that email and you're giving value and you're providing all this information. Mm-hmm. And a thing that I realized a long time ago is that a lot of times what the person on the other end needs is like, is they're just overwhelmed, you know, is like, we think, yeah, hey, if I give them a ton of information, this is going to be helpful. Would really what might be more helpful. And I'm curious what you think, as like a mom of some small kids too, what might be more helpful is like an immediate text message instead of any information and just like, hey, I'm here to help. And, you know,
yeah, that does make sense. I think I'm torn because I'm such like I love information and I love all the details, especially when I'm trying to convince my husband to take photos. I'm like, okay, well here, cause he's like loves all the info data straight on a sheet. So I'm like, okay, I'm gathering this. So I have all my, and I know that a lot of times, you know, dad, husband, whatever, it's like usually the one who's like resisting the process. So I feel like, I don't know. I think that's where that's coming. The information overload is coming from. But I could see where some people would value just like a straight like, okay, here it is. But yeah. And I've toyed around with the idea of something less formal than email, because I really, well, this is kind of little side note, but I love getting to know the families before I photograph them, like on a little more, because I always do my best work if I know, like if I have, you know, some sort of connection to the families. And so I've toyed around with like, you know, offering like a Marco Polo time or something where I'm like chatting like face to face, like, hey, here I am, you know, on these days if you need to chat about this. So, and I haven't quite figured out how to incorporate that into like, I don't know, not being weird, but also being helpful. So I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. No, I know. How old are your kids?
4 and 1.
So we're in the thick of it. Yeah, you're in the thick of it. And like,
yeah.
Have you ever had a time where you reached out about like, you reached out to someone about, I don't know, some random project you had in your house, or a house cleaner, or like get this, you know, I don't know, anything. Have you ever had to hire anyone while you're in this stage of your life?
I feel like I've reached out to people about random things. I don't know if I've ever gone through with doing anything. But
right?
Yes.
Okay, wait, right?
Yes. Yes. That's fair.
So I think that was one of my big ahas with my sales process is I was buying a house, and I know that that's like a big thing, but I was reaching out about a couple different ones. And, you know, you're on Zillow and you're so excited about the house, and then you submit the thing and then you have to wait for someone to contact you. And then you're getting calls from all these people and you forget who you reached out to. You know what I mean? You forget who you reached out to. You forget what you were asking about. Like, I know that's me at least. And And so, but there was this one woman, and this was probably before, now I'm sure a lot of people do this, but this was 10 years ago. And she just sent me a text message and she was like, "Hey, Kristen, I saw you were reaching out about 123 Petunia Street or whatever. Like, I would love to show it to you." And I'm holding a baby, like, my boobs out. And she texts me and I'm like, "Thank you." You know,
like, "Oh, yes, please help.
You've got my back." Like, she's not like calling me when I'm not ready to talk, or she's not sending me all this stuff, you know? So I wonder, is there a way that would feel good for you where you could do both? Because I know you're like, okay, what if there's the really analytical person that wants all the information? Or what if there's a husband that wants all the information? Can you think of maybe like a two-step process that might work for both those things?
Yeah. I mean, maybe even on my contact form, like on my website, because that's where almost like I'd say 80-90% of my inquiries come from, is from like my contact form on my website, like a button to click, like how you would like your information, like a detailed email or just like a quick chat, like quick text chat or something. Because I feel like for me, I would always opt for texting over. My only issue is that I love having it all in one place. That's why like I'll get inquiries from Instagram and I'm like, "Oh, what's your email though?" Because it's all neatly packaged here. And so I don't love having it in like, in the, you know, I'm keeping up with like three different streams of where it's coming from.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I have found that texting is a good like intro and like, "Hey, any questions, anything I can answer for you?" And then like after that, being like, "I just sent you all the information so you can look over it, but like I'd love to help you book something if you want to," you know, like making it easy for people to pay you and book you. I think a lot of times we put too many barriers in between X and Y, you know.
Yeah,
like a long contact form can do that, and for us, we're like, we want to collect all this information and make a really great experience for them. For them, they're like, "Oh my gosh, I'm overwhelmed and this is a lot of questions," you know? And so even like switching it so that it's really easy for them to get a text from you. And then the other stuff you can do after you already have a working relationship, you can ask the questions after they've booked the deposit or whatever, you know, you just like make it in a different order.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. I wonder if even like just putting like a number for them to text on like the contact page of like, you know, are you interested? Like, I don't, but then I'm like, I don't know. Cause there's the whole theory. And I think the reason that my contact form ended up being the way that it was because it was like, you're weeding out people who really aren't interested. If they don't want to fill out the form, then they may not actually, you know, like the likelihood of them going through with booking goes down. I feel like there's so much contradicting information. But I do feel like I'm trying to peel away from like the, you know, the cookie cutter, like formal, like, you know, and more towards the people who are much more like care about the emotive photos and like want to, you know, the connection and the season of life and not just like the picture to put on the mantle kind of thing. Like, so maybe the people who, you know, who do value that would much more be much more interested in like a, you know, casual texting conversation than a ton of information on an email.
Totally. I think that like you have to know your strengths, and if connection is one of your strengths and like you want to be able to Marco Polo someone or help them with their outfits or talk about parenting or whatever, there's a process that allows you to do that more and show like show your value instead of telling it. You know, you're showing your value because you're showing that you're available and you're easy to work with and you're, you know.
Yeah, I like that.
You know,
which is definitely, I feel like I've been told like that's very much like, you know, clients who go through the process like that. That's the feedback I get, is that like so easy to work with, very, you know, flexible and understanding. And so that fits the bill.
It's interesting, too. And I see this all the time, is like once someone's there working with you, they're blown away by how amazing it is to work with you, right? Like you get that a lot, you get great reviews,
right?
Yeah. And the trick is to show people before, like to mirror what that experience is going to be like before in your sales process and in your like contact form and on your website and stuff like that. So you're just giving them a taste of what they're already going to experience. It's just kind of rewriting your own ideas of what that inquiry process needs to look like.
Mm-hmm. I like that. No, that's good. That's a good thought.
Another thing you can try, because I'm all about experimenting, because what works for me is not necessarily going to work for you because your magic sauce is different than my magic sauce. Another thing you could try is having your availability and like the booking stuff right there and easy to do. So instead of having to go through reaching out to you and all these things, you could have like, hey, here's my deposit. It's $250 or something, you know, like you can do payments in stages. So it's easier for people.
Yeah.
Because to me, most people can afford $850. It might not feel good for them to pay it all up front, but if they're paying it in stages, that feels accessible to most, like, you know, people who, you know, have a decent job, et cetera, you know?
Right. Yeah. Which I've been offer that anyways. It's just maybe not clear up front. Like, and as long as it's paid before the session, to me, I'm like, I don't really care when it comes in, you know?
Yeah, totally. It's like alleviating some of that risk for people just by like giving them some extra options or making it really easy. Like, hey, here's the Fridays I have available in January, 50% now, 50% later, or three payments or whatever, and just having it like click and pay kind of situation.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Could be something to play around with. I know that takes a little bit more of the personal touch out, but like could make it easy for your clients.
Yeah, no, I love skipping the back and forth. I think it's just in the season of having like childcare is kind of like all over the place. So like setting days, that's the only tough part for me is like, I don't know. It's like, okay, is my, you know, can I get a sitter on this day? So we'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
But
I do. I mean, that's a good question for you, Lagan. Like, would there be one day a week that you know you could have childcare every day?
There is. I do. Okay. I do have. There's one day a week that I always, almost always have it. So that is set in stone. So that could be something at least to start with. Like, this is a guarantee. Like, I can put this on there, and then you know.
Yeah. Okay. Let me suggest this then. What if you make it really easy for like people? It's their name and their phone number and their email, reach out to you. You can text immediately, just be like, so glad that I heard from you. Do you have any questions? And then you can have a Calendly link with slots on those days you already know that you're available, you have childcare.
Right.
And you just say like, hey, here's how you can go ahead and book a slot. This is a deposit. This is a final payment. If you need a different date, let me know and I can coordinate childcare.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. At least it's worth a shot, right?
Yeah. I would test it at least for like a month and see how that feels. And I think you'll kind of like hone some of your own ways of talking about it and doing it and like, oh, like it feels good to say it this way, or it feels good to send a one sheet info page with the frequently asked questions or, you know, I think that spending a little bit more time on that sales process will make the inquiries that you do have coming in book more often. And so then you're putting a little less weight on your marketing, or just like marketing is important, but booking the inquiries is also too, you know? So you kind of like want to do both. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So does that part feel good? Like simplifying the contact form, getting a little bit more in people's text threads for communication.
Yeah.
And helping have like a little bit more simple booking process.
Yeah, I like that.
Okay, cool. Marketing wise, what's your favorite thing to do with marketing? Like, where do you have the most fun?
Oh, I love partnering with other like creatives and like small businesses. And in the past I've partnered with others and like done giveaways and that sort of thing. I love making it more than just about like me singularly. But I think that's just my like, that's like my nature of like not wanting like all, you know, all it's not all about me kind of thing. And I really love like just connecting with people, whether that be like the people that, you know, that I'm trying to get to book sessions with or other people in general. That's why I do what I do, is the connection with people and helping other people see, you know, the important connections in their life, like visually. And so that, I think that's my favorite part. Weirdly enough, I have a degree in marketing. That's what my degree is, and my bachelor's degree. But when it took your own baby business, it like, I feel like you get stuck in this little realm of like, what do I do? I don't know. So
yeah. Well, and like big corporations have a lot of money to like play around with, and they're not so
upset. What I teach you in college courses is like you're thinking like, you know, the suits and ties kind of world, not like this.
Yeah. And when a corporation has a ton of money to be like, we can do a Super Bowl ad, and if it works, it works. If it doesn't, it doesn't. Like, you know, and for us, like, we need our marketing to work. Because, you know, we don't want to waste time and money on it. So,
exactly. Right.
Do you feel like you make more impact in person than online?
I think so. Yeah. I think I just like it. Just, I'm just throwing Instagram out there because that's just, you know, everyone knows it. Like, there'll be like, you know, I'll have good weeks and then there'll be a week where it's like crickets. And like, I know it's the poor planning on my part, but I feel like when I do put so much effort into it, it feels like such little like reward or like you know, immediate like gratification. And so it honestly ends up making me more frustrated than anything, because I feel like I'm fighting a robot, and I'm like, I don't know how to beat you. I can't pass this level, like stuck at level two. So
yeah,
I don't know.
I feel you. I mean, as far as like, I think Instagram, most photographers aren't going to grow huge accounts because the posts that go viral are things that
not, yeah.
You know, it's like
randomness.
Yeah, it's like the meme accounts, you know? So I don't think we even should focus on trying to grow it. I wonder, like, have you ever had a time where you just were like, I'm on here to talk to my current clients, or I'm on here to talk to my current network and like connect with people deeper? Have you ever tried that?
Maybe a long time ago, there was a season where I was like, maybe I'll play around with this, but not enough to say that I like put enough effort into doing that and consistently. No,
I think it can be fun to reimagine how we use certain apps. And like, there's been times where I posted a lot on my feed, or I was like, I want something to go viral, so I'm gonna post stuff that I know is gonna go viral. Or really what most of my social media has been is like, this is for me to stay connected to my current clients, to give them kind of like a VIP treatment of, if I'm ever offering some kind of special event, they get to know about it first. They're like on the close friends tab of my Instagram, so I can let them know first what's like coming up. And to just like cheer on all the new babies they're having and the new business they're starting. And like, I see it more as relationship building than anything else. And that's kind of like a weight off for me, because if I'm staying connected with my current clients, they'll tell other people, but also it just feels like less pressure for me. And I think can be like more of that word of mouth kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Because honestly, the people that's who I on when I'm actually on the app, and like that's just because of the algorithm, that's whose photos I'm seeing are the people who I'm like, you know, interact with, or like my photos, and it's people that I've taken photos of before, or you know, friends who are just in the circle. So yeah, that's what's showing up. And so that would feel much more like not so heavy, or not like I'm like on a hamster wheel of it. It's just like taking, like you said, taking the weight of like the expectation of like, this should be, you know, this, where in reality it's more of this. I'm just like leaning into that.
Yeah. And you know, you're building more of those lifelong clients, which again takes some of the pressure off of the marketing, because you only need a certain amount of clients to do a photo shoot with you every year. And you're not kind of constantly churning new people.
I've just been hesitant, not hesitant. It's just, I haven't been able to like focus on that, because for some reason in my head, I've not hit that point of having enough of like, you know, those like my people in a basket that are like, I have a few like very like long-term ones who I love, but they're very much in the same realm of like where I started and not necessarily where I am now. And so it's a weird like, okay, like, I don't know, like not saying goodbye, but like figuring out what that looks like with like, you know, previous consistent like loyal clients, but also bringing in new ones who can be that in this, in like the level that I am now.
Yeah. Well, a thing that popped into my head as you've been talking and just like hearing what some of your strengths are is, and you can totally like, if you don't like this idea, throw it out, but is like collaborating with a local business and doing some kind of pop-up thing where people could book like some type of little mini. So they're still paying you. You're not doing it for free, but there's a little bit of a marketing element and you're being in person at an event and doing photos and they can upgrade. I don't know. What's your initial feeling on that?
I love that. And actually, I listened to one of the episodes from a couple of weeks ago, and I think you were talking to someone about something similar. And so it popped in my head. There's this local toy store that I love, like that I shop at all the time, that's in Fort Worth. And so they just moved like location. So I think things are crazy for them right now. But I sent like a casual message on Instagram, like, hey, if you're interested, I'd love to. And I actually went and bought a birthday gift for someone, and the owner was there. And so I like briefly talked to her. And so I think fingers crossed it pans out. So I'm like hoping the ball's kind of in their court now, but I would love to do like my personality portraits for kids, like and just take a white paper roll and do a pop-up there because they have the space for it. So then it's like their clients, people on Instagram are seeing, you know, when they talk about it, and like there's no cost for them. It's just at their, you know, location. So I hope that pans out. But I've been trying to brainstorm like other, like, you know, other businesses that it would like it match, you know, it's fitting. It's not just random, but
Think that that's a great idea. I love that you already reached out to them because like a toy store, a children's clothing store, you're getting access to people that are already in that stage of life that are, you know, you're like looking for those cross promotions of like people are already going to be looking for doulas or looking for, you know, at the OB's office or looking for toys or looking for, you know, stuff for the nursery. So you're finding those touch points where like, where are my clients going to be? And they're looking for resources as they're adding to their family in these different physical locations too.
Yeah. So hopefully that pans out, but I love that idea.
Yeah. I would reach out to more than just the one too, because I also think like a thing that family photographers and newborn photographers often overlook is the commercial photo shoot opportunities within the baby space and the newborn space. Yeah. Like, oh my gosh,
so separate, but there is like a middle lane. But in my head, it's just so, I don't know.
Yeah, like there's brands that, you know, photograph babies, and there's brands that would align with what you're doing too. And so, I know when I, like, if I'm in a new stage of life, if I'm, you know, planning a wedding or having a baby, there, it's like you enter a whole new world that you didn't know existed, you know?
You're like, oh,
there's these cute baby clothes stores, or there's this, like, wedding boutique or whatever, you know? And so if your photos are the first ones they're seeing as they're entering this new world, then there's like trust and there's a reputation and there's, you know, very organic marketing for you too.
Right. Yeah. That makes sense. I know. I need to brainstorm other, you know, other businesses, like small local stuff. Yeah.
Girl, just be in your DMs. This could be your new job on Instagram, is just like in people's DMs.
Oh, I know. I'm like, oh, I don't want to be the, like, who are you? What are you doing here? Why are you? I don't know.
No. You're bringing something of value too, you know?
Yeah.
And it's also marketing. If you're doing a pop-up in someone's place, that's, you're bringing in people to their place to shop in their store.
Right. Yeah. So I'm like, I'm helping you too.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. So that feels like the new thing you could experiment with, right? Is the pop-ups. Like, do a few, see how those feel.
Yeah.
Maybe some of those will feel higher quality than others. You're like, this boutique was great, this other thing was not so great, and you can start like evaluating after you experiment a little bit with those. And then SEO, I think, like what you're doing, you mentioned that you're doing a newsletter and SEO blog post kind of things. It sounds like those are working. You just need to keep going with it, right?
Yeah. I get into, like, you know, waves of, I think if I am more consistent with it, I think that I would see dividends of it.
Yeah. And then I think my other suggestion is more on the referral networking side.
That's never been a strength of like figuring out how to like, you know, push that forward.
Yeah, totally. But it sounds like a lot of your work does come from referrals. So it sounds like you might be better at it than you think.
Yeah, I think it's more so like I just let it happen organically. But I don't like other than that, like I don't put any other effort into it. It's like, OK, if they like their experience, then that'll speak for itself. But like, I feel like there's other ways that I could kind of like, you know, compound on that. But I just haven't really explored that.
Yeah. Well, the best way to compound on it is to create, like, once people join your business, once they hire you for anything, they are now Lake and Stearns Photography VIPs.
Mm-hmm.
So any of these events that you do, there's some kind of special access for them to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I would say is, like, once people come into the world of your business, make sure that there's consistent ways that you're communicating with them. So you're doing that already with your email list. Maybe adding like the close friends tab, people in your Instagram, some other way of communicating too.
Okay, yeah.
And then let's think about like what would be a fun VIP thing to do for your clients. It could be once a year or it could be in conjunction with something else you're doing.
Yes, actually that's in the works. So the past 2 years I've done a motherhood event, but it's always been like you pay for your spot. Like, you know, it's open to whoever. This year I'm doing it more as an appreciation thing. So like your seat, you're like, you know, your ticket to book is complimentary and then you could upgrade if you want to, but I'm like including 3 images, whatever. So this is the first year that I've done it this way. And so I'm actually excited about it because it's like, I think it's a little bit more inclusive because the people who might not book on their own are having the chance to come, but also have maybe new people too. So I'm kind of playing around to see what that looks like, but it's always been really fun in the past. So we'll see what it looks like this year.
I love that. And Lakin, I think you also can use that in your sales process when you're talking to people. You're like, hey, this is how my shoots work. But once you're in, you're in. And we do this there's perks. You get special appreciation things, or you get like first access to my calendar at the beginning of the year. You know, like there's things that don't even have to cost you a lot of money that could be really valuable to someone else by making it easy for them, by giving them early access to things, stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like I've tried to do that in the past, but I haven't actually like, it's just been very generic. I haven't actually sat down and like thought through like, okay, like, yes, this is here. And like, yes, I'm like trying to show this to people, but I haven't like thought about it personally and how like specifically in my business, how that works. And so it's like square in a circle hole, like here it is, but it's not quite going.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. But it sounds like you've gotten way more organized with your like content that's going out, your email newsletter.
Yes, that's and my January process.
So, I mean, it sounds like you're really queued up to do something like that. And I think like you start training your clients that such and such thing is going to drop this same time every year. And the first year, a lot of times I'm like very open-handed about it. I'm like, this could be great. This could be no one. And then
yeah.
You start kind of getting people used to the fact that this time every year, this one thing is going to happen, and then they look forward to it, you know, and so it's easier with each subsequent year.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. And I feel like I'm just at the beginnings of like creating those things that they haven't felt quite like rhythmic yet, but yeah, eventually just waiting.
Totally. Well, I mean, one really easy way to test some of these new things would be to go back to those inquiries that ghosted you in January and maybe do a text and send like, hey, here's a really easy way to book on the
site
or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because I feel like I've probably half of them, I think I've sent like I usually will do like the initial follow up and then like a week or two later, if I haven't heard anything, I'll do one last like, hey, finalizing my calendar for the month. Just wanted to make sure you didn't need it. You on a spot or something. But that would be a good way because there's a couple that I haven't sent my like not final but like, you know, the secondary follow-up sort of thing.
Yeah, I would try that. Did these things feel good? These felt things feel like you could start trying right away?
I think so. Yeah, I think logistically in my head trying to figure out like, I don't know, do I set up like a Google number to do this so it's like separate from my like personal, I don't know, like I don't know what that like the actual like technical thing looks like. That's something to like figure out, but yeah.
I wouldn't worry about it yet. I would just try with your number. And if it becomes a thing that you like I just use my own number, but at some point I'm going to get a different phone and I'm going to have a work phone and a personal phone.
Right. Yeah.
For now,
yeah, just a little separate.
Yeah. For now, it's bigger, but I think, you know, don't get caught in the details until you know you like doing it.
Yeah. That's fair, because that's where I go. I'm like, okay, well, it has to be all listed out, because if it's not.
Totally. But. Yeah, totally. No, I really do think, like, when you get in front of people and when you make it easy for them to talk to you and book you, I think those two things alone will make a huge difference. But I think, like, testing out some of those different ways of collaborating with local businesses and being, like, seen first because you're tied with all these places that these new families are already going, I think you'll really start seeing not only more inquiries, but the ones coming in will book because you've simplified everything for them.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cool. Any other questions?
No, I think as far as like the my I've been trying to brainstorm like blog post ideas. And obviously you're and I get very again, I get very caught up in like the details of it. So I don't have anything. Like I'll have ideas and I'm like, oh, but I don't know the X, Y, and Z of this, so maybe not. But I've been trying to brainstorm like the content ideas, and like I try to stick to like things that are related to like parenthood, motherhood, but then also like I know I need to tie in like local things for the actual like local side of the SEO. So I'm like, what are some really like, I don't know if you have had any really successful like blog posts that like topics that have worked well, or have you heard of other people?
I mean, you can have you ever used Uber Suggest to like see what people are googling in your area?
I mean, something like that, I think, but I haven't done it lately. No,
I think that's, I mean, it's good. Or you can start typing things into Google and seeing like best things to do with kids in the winter in Fort Worth, or children's clothing shops, or like you start figuring out what people are googling. I think it's better if they're not just about photography, you know? Because most people aren't being like, you know, photo shoot ideas for my newborn. They just want it to be easy and want it to be like someone that's cool to be around.
Who knows what they're doing?
So, yeah, I think like think through what people would be googling, best OBs, you know, best OBs, best childcare.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, Facebook group sounds like. Send me your best Mother's Day out, you know, and which like some of that, like you have to have personal experience, but I feel like I have a good bit, at least locally, like I know of, you know, good options. So that's actually a random, but good thought.
Totally. I know I'm not a newborn photographer. If I was, I would want my photos in the OB's office. I would want my photos in the daycare centers. Like I would want to be, you know, connected to the nicer private schools. There would just be a lot of places that I would try to make sure my work was.
For a minute, I'd gotten connected with a midwife, like a local midwife, and got a few inquiries from that, but I just didn't keep in touch. And so I was like, maybe I should reach back out and like reconnect there.
Yeah, totally. And I'm a big fan of old school marketing too. I think a lot of people put all of their eggs in the social media basket, and I think social media is great, but like taking business cards down to the prenatal yoga place is also like no one else is probably doing that, you know?
I know. I took mine to my chiropractor and they had them out for a bit because there's so many babies there, and I get kind of inquiries. I think maybe where I'm getting hung up is like I'm getting inquiries, but it's like the conversion rate could be higher, especially at this newer price range. I think that's where I'm like stubbing my toe.
Well, I think you've decided your price range is high, and so it's also kind of getting in the way. Yeah.
Yes. I listened to you had a conversation about. I was like, yeah, it's like the internal, the conflict. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's always been a thing for me. It's always been a thing.
You're like, that number is high. But I'm like, that number is not high. Like, stop changing the way you're acting about it, and I think it'll also book easier.
Yeah. For sure. No, I think I'm just imagining myself telling, you know, my husband, like convincing him of that. And that's where it's like, because me by myself, if I were like a single mom and it was all my own decision, I'd be like, yeah, done. Okay. Like, I love your work. Done. But it's like having to convince the other half of the party that it's worth it. Someone who doesn't quite value it as much as I value it.
Yeah. Well, my sales trick for that is that like, so you're already changing your sales process. with making it easier for people. At the very end of texting with someone, I send the logical thing that either they need or they need to show to someone else. So the reviews, the one blog post that's an example of what it will look like, the I have beer in the fridge for the dads, or whatever it is that's going to like, you know, whatever it is that's going to be the holdback thing, I send that at the end. Because it's helping my client who really wants to hire me get the other person on board.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And I feel like I probably project that onto people, and it may not be as big of an issue for other people, but that's what it is on my end. So I'm like, this is your problem too.
But
maybe it's not.
That's a super natural thing for us to do. But yeah, a lot of times people don't have the same hangups that we do or that our family does or anything like that. So
yeah. Yeah, you gotta remember that.
Cool. Lincoln, it's been so fun. I hope this was helpful. Can you give us an update once you've done the stuff so we can know how it's going?
Yes, for sure. I will. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Guys, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of the Dangerous Creatives Podcast. We're so thankful that we can deliver this awesome content to you each week, and we're so thankful for your support and that you keep showing up to listen. If you want to dive in a bit more, we have our membership that is open year-round. We just launched a couple challenges inside of it, the Money Mindset Challenge and the Vision Challenge, and those are things you can walk through at your own pace. They're super fun and easy to get through, and also really inspiring if you're trying to make moves in your business. We have a monthly call as part of that membership too. So you get to join for a year, have community, jump in with a bunch of creatives, and also walk through the curriculum together. So if you want more information on that, you can check out that and all of our other offerings at dangerschool.com. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon. This episode was produced and edited by the lovely Jen Madigan Creative. Music for this episode was written and recorded by Chammy D. Thanks for being part of our Dangerous Creatives podcast community, and we'll see you again next time. Won't you get